Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. It's becoming annoying because the Odyssey No Audio Issues used to show itself only once, but it's been 2 days now that I have to reset the stream twice. How is it that the audio doesn't work twice and I have to reset the stream every time? How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Interesting what's happening with this Kanye stuff, with Dave Chappelle going on SNL and making a series of jokes about Jews. Very interesting to see his tactic to do it in a way that he thought he wouldn't get cancelled for. And at this point, Dave Chappelle has survived enough attempts at cancellation that he may be right, that he is uncancellable no matter what he touches upon.
He said, I can say anti-Semitic things and Adidas can't drop me. Now what? Adidas dropped that nigga immediately. Ironically, Adidas was founded by Nazis. And they were offended. I guess the student surpassed the teacher. Big deal. He had broken the show business rules. This is a rule. You know, the rules of perception. If they're black, then it's a gang. If they're Italian, it's a mob. But if they're Jewish, it's a coincidence and he should never speak about it.
Very interesting here. Dave Chappelle pulling the meme from David Duke of the coincidence. I never thought I would see this in my life, but here we are. It's quite amazing what's happening with the mainstreaming of this questioning of the question of Jewish power in America. Something that used to, that still today will get you ostracized, but more and more people are doing it. And at some point, the cancel culture will lose its energy. Because you can't cancel Dave Chappelle. Now Dave Chappelle said it. Now Kanye said it. At some point, we're just going to have to have the Jews accept that they are a group and they are criticizable as such. And just like any other group that can get flack on the public space, they shouldn't be outside of the reach of criticism. Web Phoenix has sent a super chat, $5. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, Odyssey acting up for me, but still nice to see you. Well, I think it should be fixed now. If you're getting hang-ups, you might want to reduce the resolution. You can get a lower resolution stream now on Odyssey. All right, how are you doing, people? This will be a chill show. If you have any questions, feel free to send them. If you want to talk to me and appear on the show, I will be on the JF Lounge. So if you want to join the show, just connect to the Discord in the description below and join the waiting room on your left. And when I see you and when I'm available to speak to you, I will slide you in the JF Lounge. Make sure if you want to appear on the show that you have prepared your earphones and microphones so that we can hear you well as soon as you connect. Panger says, I can only get 1080p. Ah, yeah, tonight they don't have transcoding. I guess that they do it when they have computational resources available. But you're right, I don't see any other option tonight. So it is. The redundant contrarian sends a super chat. He says, thumbs up, thank you so much. By the way, if you'd like to send questions rather than appear live on the show, feel free to use Super Chats on Odyssey. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite platform to receive support for the show. Now, there are a bunch of leftists who don't like the humor of Dave Chappelle. Sorry, but fuck off with all the fawning over Dave Chappelle. I loved him for literally decades. Really? You loved him when he was representing black people as crack addicted? You loved him when he was representing black people being given reparations and spending it all on KFC and bitches? That's the Dave Chappelle that you liked for decades. Now that he's just spoken about Jews and just said a couple of words about, hey, You know, in Hollywood, there are a lot of Jews. That's basically the worst that he said in his sketch. It's very pale. It's very soft as a sketch. Now you don't like him? Holy shit. I would like this guy to be confronted with the old Dave Chappelle, who was showing you black people. There was a journalist woman, and they just got lots of money because of reparations. And they were like, come on, bitch! And they were throwing money at the journalist, and they were buying fried chicken at KFC. Rodi Lassen says, that old Dave Chappelle was the Jewish-approved Dave Chappelle. Well, exactly. As long as you bash on other ethnicities, you don't offend this crew. He says, loved. I can take a joke, and I'm not woke. That monologue didn't make me laugh, not once. Frankly, it seems like it's always okay for people to trash Jews, and nobody gives a shit. These people are completely disconnected from reality. You think it's always okay to trash Jews? Have you seen the extreme costs that are imposed on anyone who makes a joke or anyone who makes a critique? It's not okay in society. To the contrary, they get overly punished. Ellie was saying, I'm so disgusted by Dave Chappelle's SNL monologue. He opened his performance of the whole night by making fun of anti-Semitism, turning Jewish traditions and observances into a joke, and implying that Jews run the entertainment industry. No counters. There's no, like, Ellie, explain to us, how are Jews not running the entertainment industry? Have you counted the number of people in the entertainment industry? Have you looked at the percentages? No, but it's disgusting that he said it. Josh Weinberg says, I have to say that Dave Chappelle wasn't funny and was painting Kanye and Kyrie as victims of Jews, accusing them of being anti-Semitic. That is a very extrapolated interpretation of the sketch, of the skit. It was a very interesting monologue, just on the border, just enough to tempt the leftists with these ideas. And of course, it was kind of pathetic at the beginning, because here's how Dave Chappelle thinks he can get away with this. That's a little too cocked for me. See, I wouldn't do that much of a carpeting at the beginning, but look at the beginning before he starts his jokes.
Thank you very much for being here. But before I start tonight, I just wanted to read a brief statement that I prepared. I denounce anti-Semitism in all its forms. And I stand with my friends in the Jewish community. And that, Kanye, is how you buy yourself some time.
So this is kind of a joke. It's a joke of cuckery, but to me, cuckery is never a joke. You cannot buy yourself some time. You cannot try to push a message, try to educate people about an issue, and at the same time tell them, see, I had to apologize in advance for doing this. Because then you're saying you're just as much a slave to this system that you criticize as everyone else. So I don't like it, but of course it's the style of Dave Chappelle. He's always, you know, when he was doing his show against abortion, his skit against abortion, he only says things that will bring the leftist in, things that seem pro-leftist, and then at the end he drops something on them that surprises them. It's a little too soft, but it's okay, it's his style. Silver Spider says, when white people are overrepresented, it's white supremacy. When Jewish people or any other protected group are overrepresented, it's just that they're successful in the field. Absolutely. And you want to see the exact example of what you just mentioned, listen to this Jordan Peterson comment on Kanye and the Jews.
Well, part of the problem with the discourse about the Jewish minority is that Jews are disproportionately successful for all sorts.
This is always the Jordan Peterson card. They're successful. So he's already laying out a psychologization, a pathologization of asking this question, because he's implying, well, okay, so they're successful, so you're jealous, right? That's why you bring this up. And it's like, do you recognize, Jordan, that there could be legitimate reasons to question the structure of power and the control of information in America other than jealousy? Or are you such a Freudian psychologist that the only motivations you can construct into people are evil or wicked in some way? We can have a discussion about, is it normal that a minority controls so much of the informational landscape? And does it have blind spots, this informational landscape? Are there things that, because of the structure of funding in the media industry, are there things we don't get to hear about? Are there things that are overblown? Those are the questions. They are not motivated by jealousy at all. It has nothing to do. They are motivated by, are we getting the best that we could get in terms of a public space for conversation and entertainment and education?
Sorts of reasons. And so that fact easily feeds into conspiratorial thinking, right?
See, already a pathology. This guy, if he was right in front of me, I could call him out on all of this, but he's just not getting questioned about it. So he continues on his road of dismissing the opposite argument as pathological. If I was right there in front of Jordan, I could say, no, Jordan. It is not a conspiracy to be analyzing the statistics within the media industry. There are statistics available. Let's look at them. I want to have a conversation because I think it's important for young people who are learning from this media. They're learning from YouTube. They're learning from their favorite podcaster, their favorite scientist. They are learning from their teacher in academia. And I think it matters if a group has been taking a larger share than their representation in controlling what our kids will hear. That matters.
Partly because minorities are annoying, you know, but they're not nearly as annoying when they're unsuccessful. Because at least they can, what would you call, atone for the sin of being a minority by being oppressed and miserable. And so that's, you know, a positive thing. Yeah. But if they're, then they're really annoying. Yeah. It's because not only are they a minority, but, you know, it's easy to...
See, he boils it down to an annoyance. It is not an annoyance, Jordan. We need to talk about what it results in terms of our children. Are our children exposed to moral signals and philosophical signals that they shouldn't? Is it possible that the fact that the minority controlling informational landscapes in America, both academia and media, is exposing our children to toxic ideas? Ideas that may not have been toxic for those promoting them, but that may be toxic to our children. That's a possibility, and I would like to discuss this with you. Because on other fronts, you recognize that some of these ideas are toxic, like the idea that you have to chop your dick because you have doubts about yourself at 12 years old. There's a toxic ID. Why is it there? Would it have been there if the people in charge of informational and educational control were invested in the reproductive success of Western civilization? If there was a 99% white Christian representation in Hollywood, would the current position of Hollywood is, if you have doubts, chop your dick as a teenager? Would that be the current position of Hollywood? It matters. It matters a lot because there are lines of decent that are getting chopped, that will never see any future for their children, because the children that will end up chopping their dick may have been the only children they had. Ladazal has sent a super chat. He says, do you agree with Eugipius that Emily Hoster, who called for the panned amnesty, is a head girl, as defined by this essay? A head girl. I had not been familiarized with this concept, so let's click on this internet link. The head girl syndrome, the opposite of creative genius. Ah, I wouldn't have imagined this. When I think of a head girl, I think of a girl that just enjoys making blowjobs, or that is particularly talented at making blowjobs. But a head girl is the opposite of creative genius. The ideal head girl is an all-rounder, performs extremely well in all school subjects. By the way, this background color is assaulting my eyes. And has a very high grade point average. She is excellent at sports, captaining all the major teams. She is also pretty popular, sociable, and well-behaved. The head girl will probably be a success in life, in whatever terms being a big success happens to be framed. She will gravitate towards such aspect of life. So she might, in some times and places, make a good marriage and do a great job of raising a family. In another time and place, she might go to a top-notch college and get a top-notch job and pursue a glamorous and infertile lifestyle of serial monogamy with desirable mates. But the head girl is not, cannot be, a creative genius. Modern society is run by head girls of both sexes. Hence, there is no place for the creative genius. Modern colleges aim at recruiting head girls, so do universities, so does science, so does the art, so does the mass media, so does the legal profession. Well, let me tell you this. I don't think that the lady who asked for amnesty, I don't think that she's a head girl in the sense of that article. She definitely doesn't have creative genius, but that, from what I read, that doesn't make you a head girl. To the contrary, I think that she's an over-empath who's willing to go to the bat for her female tyrants that she feels compelled to defend. She's the defender. She's there to care. She's there to reconciliate. I don't think that the head girl reconciliate. I think the head girl is just the one that goes ahead and takes what's hers, takes what she can. I think that the pandemic amnesty woman, whoever wrote that, must be someone at a lower social status than a head girl. She's at a lower social status, and all that she can perceive as being her contribution to the world is to resolve, to forgive each other. And that operates not at the alpha female level, not a head girl. That operates at the middle of the female hierarchy. That's where I would place her. Of course, I would have to read more details to know fully what this description entails, but she doesn't seem like a leader to me. Crypto is also continuing its troubled days. We had the FTX stuff. This morning, people were starting to worry because Crypto.com CEO says they accidentally sent 400 million ETH to the wrong wallet address, which was later returned. Holy shit. They apparently ended up sending it to a wallet, thankfully, that was controlled by kind of a competitor or someone with whom they had interactions. So it was possible to ask that person to send it back. Let me tell you this. If Crypto.com sends 400 million to Papa JF's ETH wallet, they don't see it again. And you won't see me either. I will be going to some country and living the life. I'm going to have to disappear, I guess, because they're going to say, oh, JF, we're going to force you to send back the ETH. With Trudeau and the RCMP police. I'm fleeing with it if I have $400 million. So thankfully they got it back, but it all seeds this this circumstance of doubt around crypto. I've been thinking about FTX all day. It's so dirty, and people are right. It's not conspiratorial thinking at this point. The US government was sending money to Ukraine. Ukraine was buying Bitcoin or was receiving Bitcoin donations. They were depositing this into the FTX accounts. The FTX company was stealing from those accounts and giving to Democrat politicians. So the current election has been performed with fraudulent money. It's been performed on the funds of the American taxpayer through the whole Ukraine war loophole. I knew that the Ukraine war was a drain of money for secret transfers of money. But I didn't know that it would be so direct, that basically the money would make one jump back and that the company doing that transfer would just go bankrupt all of a sudden and ensure that the money is sent to the Democrats. Now, they want to ban people from social media who claim that there was a stolen election. But how is it as a newsman? How is it as a newsman that I explained to you guys what happened? Fraudulent money was used, massive amounts, like billions. And in fact, in a way, the fraudulent part of the billion has been not the full billion, but a part of it. And the rest of the money has probably been redirected toward even worse frauds, even potentially the killing of human beings by like the people who targeted CRP. Like, why is it that when the US sent money to Ukraine, we started seeing mayors be killed and their bodies left on the streets? We started seeing people going after Coach Red Pill. Certainly, there's someone who placed a price on their heads. And so the effect of American money is absolute corruption, murder, and violation of electoral law. That's the polite way to say it. The reality is an election was fully rooted in a scheme of fraud. And the side that committed this fraud is the Democrat Party. Lendalt Guntram says, JF, they can run the ETH chain backwards, though. Can they? They shouldn't, though. I hope they don't. I mean, that's the big question. When there will be massive events of fraud. Up to now, the tradition in Bitcoin has been to say, we will not touch the blockchain. We will not manipulate the blockchain. Now, in the future, you might very well have judges and politicians getting into it, and perhaps even laws allowing to do it, where you could be ordered by a court to make a tweak to the blockchain. You could be ordered like, okay, you're going to trust the blockchain up to there, then you're going to erase this transaction, and then you're going to keep trusting the blockchain after. And there's a big question about how communities will react. Will ETH do the backwards direction? Will the Bitcoin community eventually, perhaps the big guys of Bitcoin getting together, the miners, the exchanges, they could decide together to fuck the system up. If they decided, it's like, oh yeah, we're going to take the Bitcoin software, but we're going to do this little mod to it. But I think that ultimately the money that will survive, the crypto that will be the most popular and that will gather popular support, is the one that never does this. The one that says, even if it's fraudulent, it's just bits. We're continuing to process the bits as we had agreed. Now, one thing that I do agree with is if it is absolutely known and determined that a sum of Bitcoin has been emerging from a fraud, from a stealing of an account, I'm not opposed to the idea of exchanges refusing to take transfer from this account. saying you cannot bring in your Bitcoin that are stolen from Mt. Gox into Binance. That I'm okay with this because it's a centralized thing and Binance can do it, but then other competitors to Binance have the choice not to do it. But if you do the change at the blockchain level, that becomes, to me, messing with something that shouldn't be messed with. Mulder says, Jeff, how often do you wash the new shirt? Did you buy multiple shirts that look identical? And what attracted you to this shirt? As I told the story the day I bought it, there were so little shirts available that I was like, I need anything that fits and that is dark. And at the beginning, I wanted dark charcoal, dark gray. They didn't have anything. The malls are dying. They're totally dead. How often do I wash it? I wash my shirt every two or three days of wearing. Now, I would like to have multiple copies of this shirt, but the mall I went to is so dead that they had only one shirt that was of this color, of this size. Things are dead. The Scotsman who sold me that shirt, he looked sharp. He looked amazingly sharp for being in a mall that's dead. There was a contrast. He was kind of shining whiteness in otherwise dark circumstances. It was like a flower in the asphalt. The one true Scotsman that I have seen in my life was right there. I mean, I would have wanted to buy his shirt because his shirt was superb. But he couldn't sell me his shirt. He had to sell me the shirts that were on hangers and everything. Kalamox Word says you should make Shirt Talk a regular segment of the show. Silver Spider says, was the Scotsman a well-built European male, JF? Absolutely. You know, I think he may be one of the rare non-gay young person that I've seen in my life. He was something like 20, 22 years old. Scotsman, a true Scotsman. And he was superb. He was working at one of these high-class... high class. I live very far from civilization, but as high class as it gets for where I can drive, you know. And yeah, he gave me superb service. He tried looking for shirts that were dark gray. There were everything he had was all white or pale blue. I cannot wear white or pale blue on the show. Edge Security sends 20 LBC. Thank you so much. He says, do you have any reason to believe that the Republican Party will be less likely to regulate cryptocurrency or less interested in ushering in a CBDC? No. I am absolutely certain that the legislation of Bitcoin and potentially eventually after that CBDC or even altogether will pass. No matter what we do. Because look at the demo. Look, everything is split up 50-50, right? There's certainly 10 Republicans who are part of the same elite circles as the Democrats. Basically, as far as these people are concerned, the Mitt Romney of this world, they are as connected to the Democrat framework as any Democrat. To a certain extent, they are more likely to follow a Democrat law than AOC and other little revolted of the far left. So, yeah, fear not, legislation is coming, which is why this afternoon I went on a short. I shorted Bitcoin because... Believe me, the fraud of this weekend is a thing. It's going to hit a lot this week. Monday, Tuesday, there will be all sorts of worries. There will be misinformation on the social media. There will be actual information and worries. There will be extreme fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And on top of it, they're going to start seriously talking about legislating crypto. And then people are going to see, holy shit, no matter what kind of dirty political ends gets into it, it's going to be less fun. Crypto will be less fun. That is guaranteed. So I suspect that there will be a continuation of the bear market. I want to benefit from it. I'm short. Now, that doesn't mean you have to do this. When I play these bets, I do it on very little money. I do it just for fun, really. I do it on money that I can afford losing. But it's the only option. What else do you think will happen this week that will be very positive for crypto? Nothing can happen. It's just too big what has been exposed. Just the FTX stuff in itself is too big to... It's like, and on top of it, Kevin O'Leary. This gives you what will happen this week.
I'm a shareholder in the international. That's a zero. It's not the first time.
So he's explaining that he was a shareholder in FTX. Holy shit, they scammed Kevin O'Leary, one of the richest men on earth. This guy made billions selling educational crap to children, like CDs. Things that you would look at today, you would feel that they come from a fucking museum.
I'm a shareholder in the international. That's a zero. It's not the first time I've made a bad investment, probably not the last time, but luckily I make more good ones than bad ones, and I learn from my mistakes. What's going to happen now is there won't be another situation like this for institutional investors ever again. We're simply not going to put capital to work until this stuff gets regulated. What I'm going to be doing is I'm going to fly to Washington.
Please understand, Kevin O'Leary. Your time is done. We don't care about your capital. Bitcoin will rise no matter what you do, and it will rise correctly. What you did is you funded a parallel entity trying to appropriate something that was already rising in and of itself, something that didn't need you. And in the process, you got scammed. You didn't get scammed by Bitcoiners. You got scammed by your own people. You got scammed by the connected networks of Democrats, the exact same that have made you rich to begin with. And so go to Washington, D.C. all you want. You can crash Bitcoin by asking for legislation. Go ahead, do it. Eventually, some other crypto will rise and will replace what you have destroyed. And you won't have a single share of it. Because you're too stupid to buy a $100 laptop and make it your dedicated laptop for just storing Bitcoin so that it get never hacked, it's never detected, it never has a virus. You open it, deposit Bitcoin, and then you close it for years. That's what you could have done. Instead, what did you do? You showered money onto a highly frizzled individual, an individual with many curls in his ways of doing, many curls in his ways of handling your money. So you deserve the punishment. Don't go and punish the whole crypto community because you suck. The whole crypto community is totally fine in face of the fall of FTX. Maybe some people lost money, but the vast majority who have done what we canceled are totally fine and unaffected. FTX facing criminal probe by Bahamas authorities, but Musk counters there will be no investigation of major Democrat donor SBF. So thankfully there's something happening in the Bahamas, but it doesn't look super serious. It's an inquiry, so it's in the Bahamas it just means the police goes to your house and says, has there been any crime here? So that's the level at which they are now. But Elon Musk is right. The problem is, if you dig enough in this story, it's ultimately a story of political fraud. FTX is a secondary, it's an intermediary in this. FTX was playing the role of passing in the dark money that was thrown onto Ukraine from the US government back to the Democrat politicians that gave it. If you really want to get into it, it's a fraud that involves 10,000 people at least. Now, I wish that we had a police service that has balls and that can investigate that kind of stuff, but we don't. We have the political police of the FBI. We have the personal police of Nancy Pelosi and the Capitol Police. You think that any of these people are going to be incentivized and willing to go after this obvious fraud, obvious international fraud? Of course, they would prefer going after Trump for maybe urinating on a Russian prostitute. That sounds so much better, much less risks. But that's the problem. We don't have a way to incentivize police to make their actual work. The police on the ground that are stopping real crime in community, like violent crime, they're easy. I mean, sometimes they get into corruption, but there's a way you can always get some honest men to do the job. But this kind of political thing that is so big, not a sheriff will look into it because it's too big. It has to be federal. And then at the federal, what do we have? Fully politically controlled police that will never look at the very people who give them their jobs. FTX faces criminal probe in the Bahamas after company collapses, loses $1 billion in crypto. Well, of course. I mean, at this point, it's much more than $1 billion. $1 billion would have been the missing funds of the clients. We don't know how much are the funds that were transferred to Alameda Research. We don't know how much of the funds were wasted on marketing opportunities, the stadium, the political donations. And we don't know about the hack of yesterday, Will we see the color of this money again or not? Republicans and GOP-leaning independents prefer DeSantis over Trump in 2024. I'm happy to see some sense here. Now, what's happening is that we always get a high favorability of Trump when we ask to the militants within the Republican Party. But the centrist and the independent, they tend toward more DeSantis. I'm happy to see this, but I think ultimately, I think that the true MAGA crowd, the true MAGA base of the Republican Party is way too emotional about Trump. They're too attached to him. I can understand, because Trump represents still good days that we can remember from the very close past that were much better than the current days. So I can understand the knee-jerk reaction to want to go back to him. And since he's been fomenting inside his own base this conception that he got the election was stolen, they will want to give him a second chance. But it would be much more rational to go for DeSantis, in my view. DeSantis, as there is some hope that he can restore a form of social conservatism at the federal level, which is what he's done in Florida. You know, he's pushed forward for conservative social values. It's not perfect, and it won't fix the economy much. It won't fix the statism, but it's already a good step. With Trump, and one other thing, among the social conservatism concern is medical liberty. He was right on medical liberty. He was right on the vaccine. Trump isn't right on the vaccine, isn't right on medical liberty. And on top of it, he has this leftist inner self that will never go away. He will always be too open and not willing to impose, just like the Democrats do, impose your view of conservative cultural values onto the nation. Colm Oxworth says, DeSantis is gross to me. Is the establishment attempt at zapping the energy from Trump with token concessions for the right? Well, in the end, he can try to fight against Trump, and no matter who is the victor, you can support him. I don't see the problem there. I think we can go through a primary in which people take for Trump or DeSantis, and then when they are a presidential candidate, you side with whoever won. People are saying, speaking of which, where is Go Away? Go Away was saying, I will never betray Trump. Where would you be? Where would we be without him, I ask you? Well, it's not a matter of betray. It's a matter of asking yourself, what can he bring? What can he bring to America? It's the same thing as the reason leftists voted for Biden. Not because they liked Biden, not because he was a particularly stellar candidate. It's just that they hated Trump. But what you're saying is similar. You're saying Trump will bring us back. Well, bring us back to what? To pre-Biden? So that's your best hope for America, pre-Biden? Having a president that pushes a vaccine? Having a president that doesn't listen to his right-wing base? Having a president that cannot even say the word anti-white when Tulsi Gabbard can? If that's what you want, you are settling for very little, in my view. You're settling for very little. I'm not saying that Ron DeSantis is that high above, but at least he has a couple of elements that are better. Please tell me what I'm missing here. Swalwell appears to embrace medical and legal malpractice over parental rights. Parental rights are becoming one of the defining issues for 2024. Building from Glenn Youngkin's 2021 victory in Virginia, school boards, races, and educational initiatives have become some of the most fiercely contested areas on local and state ballots. Swalwell waded in this week into the area with a curious attack on parents demanding more say in the education of their children. Putting patients in charge of their own surgeries, clients in charge of their own trials. These were curious analogies to draw since patients and clients are in charge of the key decisions in their surgeries and trials. What Rep. Swalwell is missing is called informed consent. Absolutely. The leftists are trying hard to have a reconceptualization of medicine as medicine works because it's a bunch of experts that are so much better than you, and they tell you what to do, and so that's why it succeeds. No, it is not what medicine is about. Medicine is about having someone with high knowledge counsel a decision maker. The decision maker is the patient. That patient is the ultimate decision maker, and if that patient doesn't want things to be done, then nothing should be done. They are completely trying to review this circle of consent between the doctor and the patient. Crazy Catman says, I'm in the TRS camp, which believe Trump lost not because people voted Dems, but because whites didn't go vote for him. He lost his base going after stupid crap like the Platinum Plan, as if 13% of the population will vote you in. Absolutely. Trump committed the error of sacrificing his large base to appeal to special interest. Never do that in politics, especially if you've won. I mean, if you've never won, maybe the only way to get you to 10% or 20% might be to appeal to special interest. But if you won, you need to deliver for the people who made you win. Because they hold you by the balls much more than any other population. Doubting Thomas says, JF, what do you think of the prospects of mRNA vaccines for immunotherapy treatment for cancer or other diseases? Immunotherapy treatment, so you would have cancer cells, you inject the mRNA. The mRNA is targeted in a way that it will only or it will selectively try to attack the cancer cells only. And once they are in the cancer cells, they express some spikes, protein, that leads your immune system to digest the cancer cell. That is very interesting. I think it should be explored to the maximum and it should be tried. And, you know, when you have cancer and you're going to die, I'm all for trying everything on you. The people who have cancer should have a right to be, to do things that would be reckless to do to a healthy 12-year-old. So, you know, I'm totally against using RNA technology on a healthy 12-year-old. I am totally for exploring the possibility, and if it works, applying it on people who are desperate and who will die no matter what if we don't do anything. Absolutely, I'm for it. See, I'm not ideological about this. I mean, the only place I'm ideological is consent. This has to be the case. The old person who has cancer must consent to the RNA treatment. And I don't want to see the whole of society like they did with COVID, trying to shame people with cancer to get the procedure or not to get the procedure. Let people choose. Offer the procedures. Absolutely, I'm for it. Mysterious Mention says, JF, just want to say love the show. Thanks for years of entertainment and knowledge. I appreciate what you do. It's so great to receive the love. Thank you so much. In the last weeks, like, I think that in the last month, maybe 25 people have written to me saying how much they love the show. I was just reading an email this morning. Can I find it back? My God. How will I find it? How could I search for it? Oh, yeah. Okay. So he was saying that he's a father and he's always been listening to me since the Warski days. And then he wrote a very long text. He was saying, why do people ignore TRP? And he says, I noticed that the preeminent public figure representing biology, Brett Weinstein, isn't really that interested in biology anymore. According to you, he is trying to form some kind of centrist party. And it seems he talks a lot about COVID, which is a topic of biology, I guess, but it is far more political than biological now. And then he goes on to say, JF, I think I know why people ignore TRP. It's not that they think it's false. I think they think it's true. But they think it's so unavoidable that it's not even worth talking about it. And he says, they're right, it's unavoidable. Well, you know, I don't think it's unavoidable. When I look at the developments, for example, of the RNA vaccine, you would have had people telling you in the past, in the far future, it's unavoidable that we're going to use these kinds of technology. But then they start using it. And then you got people dying. You got actors making videos saying, oh, half of my face is paralyzed. You're going to have a lot of bumps in the road. And at each of these bumps, you're going to have an opportunity to tell people, look, what you guys are doing is dangerous. At each of these opportunities, for tens of thousands of years, you're going to have the opportunity to see this guy turn bad. See this town turn bad. See this country turn bad. See this whole colony of TRP turned slaves. So I don't think it's a last fight. I think there's going to be so much messy stuff done that there's going to be periods of humanity where the argument is actually relatively easy to make. That it's ridiculous to continue with these mutations. Now, you can't see it right now, but I can, because I've thought it through. There's going to be human suffering. There's going to be war. There's going to be differences. There's going to be exclusion. And wherever you have exclusion, you have a bunch of people pissed off. And when you have a bunch of people pissed off, the one thing that history teaches is either you will kill them or they will eventually kill you. So I think that TRP installing itself onto planet Earth will leave a lot of people pissed off. Can you imagine if only the vaccine already has led to the creation of freedom groups across the countries we live in, has led people to get together and resist against the oppression and the rejection? Can you imagine how much TRP will do that over multiple generations? I don't think the fight is lost, and I wouldn't call it lost. As far as people not being interested in discussing the issue, it's true that since I published this book, there were documentaries about Richard Dawkins, Lawrence Krauss, talking about the origins of life. There were podcasters specializing about talking about evolution, including Brett Weinstein. And it's true that as they have disconnected from this subject, it's like they started being uninterested in it. Probably because they feel they have done the whole tour, that they don't have much to revisit in their views. And it's too bad. It's too bad, but I knew it would happen when I wrote this, so people will engage with it when it's the only thing they can do and when they are forced to continue forward. And I've said it that it would take 20, 30, 40 years, and it will still take that. Some random bloke says, "Hey, JF, are you going to see the latest right-wing blood and soul ethnocentric movie, Black Panther 2? Black Panther 2, that doesn't sound like a right-wing movie. Very little chance that I will watch. I have watched like 10 minutes of the Wakanda movie. I can't. It's too unrealistic. It's too... I don't know. It's... I can feel the morality sweating from the movie, the moralizing, and I don't like it. You cannot make a movie just about how you would have wished the world to be. You have to give me something here about my reality." Silver Spider sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, "Hey, JF, what is a more likely future, The Matrix or Terminator? If neither, are there any sci-fi movies you think come close?" I think, it depends, because every movie has its little details that you need to grant. So, like, Terminator, I believe, is a highly plausible movie if you remove time travel. If you include time travel, then no. But if you remove time travel, the whole idea of a phenotypic separation, which is what Skynet is, it's kind of a life form that takes over the world and that separates from the life form that created it while committing an aggression against it, that is possible. Now, there are aspects that would be very different. First, a life form that stems from humanity would have to reproduce. The problem of Skynet is it doesn't reproduce. Skynet would have to be a life form. It would have to evolve over a lot of time before it starts being very dangerous. Matrix is poorly made and poorly motivated, but the general idea of a virtual space for human beings, very likely that it will develop in some form. Now, the whole problem with Matrix, of course, is human beings are terrible batteries. You would be freaking stupid to be using the human body as a battery. Might as well take the food that you give to the human and burn it. It's like, oh, humans as batteries. Well, I have bad news for you. Humans are a gigantic waste of energy. It's like unbelievable. You can almost, as someone said on Twitter, basically almost anything is a better battery than a human. just air. Just take air. You're going to get a better battery. Crazy Catman says, Skynet replicates via its own production line. Yeah, but there is no central entity replicating. If you're a chain production, if you have a chain production of robots, that is not replication. That is central production of repeatable elements. And the difference is that replication reads and then writes. If you just write, you're not a replicator. The key, and I made the case in chapter 7 of my book, the key to replication is read and write, not just write. You can make 10,000 Tesla cars, you still haven't reproduced a single time. Firestarter says, JF, the original ID for the Matrix is what human brains were to be CPU or RAM for the machines, but it was too complex ID for the people who run Hollywood. Yeah, well, here's another case in which the final producers are ruining an initially valid ID. Hashtag mask up is trending on Twitter. These guys are still talking about masks. Can you imagine that there's a part of the population out there? I don't know if these guys are bots. Maybe they are bots and all of this is a big joke to keep people obsessed around COVID. But if they are real people, you have to imagine there are people out there who are convinced that we are killing children and grandma right now because we have stopped wearing masks. And they are calling for the return of masks. 70% of Canadians are willing to mask up if it is mandated, if others do. Seriously, this isn't chipping in on a pizza or deciding to go out for drinks, people. You shouldn't need peer pressure to convince you to keep yourself safe. We're in 2022, and this guy is still on the original program of the mask is there to keep yourself safe. They have abandoned, even the experts of the CDC have abandoned this discourse like 1 year and a half ago when they started saying, oh, you know, the masks are for the other people, but not for you. This guy is still on the first iteration. Carla says, when we live in a world that is sacrificing children and the elderly for the comfort of a maskless face, just know that we have indeed lost the plot. Hashtag mask up. She is a tea drinker, a home cook, a beauty expert, a critique of Bravo and politicians. 100% that witch. Oh, it's like she's saying, I'm 100% that witch. Okay. Okay, I understand. I was wondering if there's a kind of witch that is called a that witch. Aligned to hope and faith, anti-capitalist, believer in abolitionist. She wants masks. Ghislaine Maxwell befriends double murderer, becomes a prison darling. Convicted sex trafficker, Ghislaine Maxwell has apparently settled into her new life at the Federal Correctional Institute in Tallahassee, where she has cultivated a clique of influential inmates who ensure her protection, the Daily Mail reports. Well, I'm happy for Maxwell. I'm happy for Ghislaine. She shouldn't have to suffer or be tortured. So she has a friend now, a double murderer. Maybe not good for her psychological state, but maybe they will have some kind of friendship that will make it more tolerable. New York City CEOs are pissed at Governor Hochul. They ask, so the people who are at Wall Street and the big companies of Wall Street, they ask Governor Hochul to address taxes and crime. Because at this point, They're like, we have all these big buildings. We have these people in suit that come to work every morning, but they get attacked by some psychiatric crazy guy that you've released yesterday. And so it's not viable anymore. They need to address crime because now the businessmen are getting pissed. Go away, says JF, the Australian female serial killer was convicted of killing four of her infant children over many years. She always maintained they died of natural causes, but they could not find what they died of at the time. Now they say they have found the genetic reason why all her kids die young. Are you serious? So I misinterpreted the story. I guess I trusted too much a social media description of it. I am sorry if that is the case. If that is the case, it's not as I represented it. Okay, so they are making a case for sudden infant death syndrome. Because there were no physical signs of foul play in any of the deaths, the case had rested entirely on circumstantial evidence, including the unlikelihood of four unexplained deaths occurring in one household. Oh, well, you are totally right. Go away. Sorry for the misleading. So this is a case then that is legitimate. I mean, yeah, but then how do you have a genetic thing that leads to sudden infant death syndrome and it all happens at the same time? Is it because there was something environmentally that happened? Very interesting. Thank you, go away. I didn't want to communicate fake news, so thank you for correcting me. Silver Spider says, okay, maybe this lady should get manslaughter. Well, I mean, no. If they had a genetic problem that was likely to lead to SIDS, maybe she's not the killer, especially if she's been caught only on circumstantial evidence. It's very rare that you can find a way to kill four people without leaving a single trace. Even just strangulation leads to, you can see marks of the fingers on the neck. So, Mulder says, lol, bad genetics now punishable by manslaughter. Yes, that would be unfair. Go away says, her kids died at different times. It was after the fourth that people became too sus on her and she was charged. Ah, okay, so... Well, they said that they died in a short period of time, but I guess short means here. 4 years later, in May 2003, okay, found her guilty of murdering three of her children and of the manslaughter of her first son, Caleb. Okay. Okay, very interesting story. Thank you, Goe, for correcting me on this. G20. Joint statement unlikely as US and Russia reach impasse. The United States and Russia were unable to agree on language for a joint statement following the multilateral ASEAN summit in Cambodia, making it unlikely that G20 nations will achieve a consensus this week in Indonesia. According to Russian Foreign Minister Sergey Lavrov, America and its allies are to blame for a lack of communique at the 19 Nations Summit, claiming on Sunday that the U.S. insisted on absolutely unacceptable language regarding the situation in Ukraine. So I guess it's a situation where all votes are needed for something to be written, and Russia is there, U.S. is there. They're not going to agree on a common ground. That is not surprising. And not particularly desirable. Who cares about these communiques? Silver Spider says, if she just got four abortions, she wouldn't have been charged at all. Yes, that is... Okay, it took me a while to realize what does that mean. Yes, you're right. If you kill the baby while it's in your belly, in most countries, that is legal. All right, guys, that is a short show, but it's all I had tonight. It's a dead day on the internet, and we are a Sunday, so very rare that there are major news coming in on Sunday. That will be it for tonight. I thank you all for joining me. Thank you for those people who support the show through Super Chats tonight, and also for those who are constantly supporting the show. There are some of you that have been here for years on Subscribestar, Patreon. That is so awesome. We can keep going thanks to you. Thank you so much, all of you, and bye-bye.